Buildings from the first crop by Majestic Perfection sold for $285,000, $230,000, $220,000, $160,000, $155,000, $132,000 at the Keeneland September sales. Majestic Perfection 2013 stud fee was $8,500 due in a full stance of nurses. Just another example why we say that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Majestic Perfection is the fastest son of Harlan's Holiday, a top 10 sire with earnings of over $6,530,000, with 13 stakes winners and 29 stakes horses in 2013. He's also, according to champion trainer Steve Asmussen, the fastest horse he'd ever seen. Not the fastest he'd ever trained, the fastest he'd ever seen. Unbeaten on a fast track, Majestic Perfection won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt easily over Big Drama, who went on to win the Breeders' Cup Sprint. His bow that day was a 115. He also sprinted 6 furlongs in track record time of 107.1 for a 117 buyer. A gorgeous individual, thus the name, Majestic Perfection. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Russell Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Russell Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center. Beautiful day here at out on the Paris Pike. It doesn't get much better than this. Sun shining, tracks fast, and just glad to be here, above ground. And we're going to have a pretty busy morning this morning. Paul Tackett's going to come in. Paul's from down in Scott County. I've known Paul for the better part of 50 years, I guess. Of course, he's a lot older than I am. And that's a lie, too, but that's all right. But Paul's a good guy and raised a nice runner that my Conquistadora, an Artie Schiller filly, won the Summer Stakes Grade 2 up at Woodbine just the other day. So we thought we'd rouse him out and bring him over here, and so he's going to be on at the top of the hour. Dr. Doug Byers is here, looking real chipper. Michael Blowen, who Doc's just got through celebrating his birthday, and of course Michael celebrates every day.
That's my motto. Just in case I don't make it to the next birthday, I want to make sure that I don't miss out on any of the fun.
That's exactly right. Why not? Might not that be? Oh, and there goes my phone. Would you answer this? I think. Thank you.
You can't make
probably
this show
my
up.
Wife. Anyway, I don't know if Jackie's going to be here to do the announcements or not. We had a problem at home this morning with one of the horses, and she's there. So anyway, we're going to get in touch with Steve Moody. They're running the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup down at Churchill today. He'll give us the winner of that. And take a look at maybe a couple of last winners of the Jockey Club Gold Cup, which is, by golly, they run it again today. Flat Out's going for his third. I had the honor of clocking him out here a couple of times.
Nice horse.
Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, son of Flatter that belongs to Art Preston. That was a nice, did you see the latest Blood Horse, that article on Art in there?
Great article on Art, and the back page was about Alfred Knuckles.
Yeah.
And we had the good fortune of celebrating with Alfred last night. He's at the Kentucky Farm Manager's Dinner Dance. And
Farm Manager of the Year.
Alfred was rightfully named the Farm Manager of the Year, so it was a great event. People really, really had a good time. And
two nice guys.
Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, Art Preston owns a training center right next door to us here now, you know. And Tim Shue trains for him over here.
Nice.
And nice arrangement. And it's a beautiful place. You ever been over there?
No.
You ought to go over there. You been over there, Doc?
No.
No, you ought to go over there and look around sometime just to be a pest.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, it's you got a really nice grass gallop, of course, and then they have access to the track here. So it's real good. So anyway, they had to put De Jure down. I guess you saw that.
Yeah, that was really too bad over at Shadwell, I think.
Yeah, he was 26. And I never will forget that Breeders' Cup.
Oh, yeah, because I had the other horse. That's what I remember.
Oh,
jumped his shadow. I was cashing my tickets. I was going left and right. I was so excited. Then what?
Well, you probably spooked him. That's why I jumped
out. I wasn't there that day.
No.
I can get blamed for a lot of stuff, but spooking. Who was the other horse?
I can't remember.
I'll have to remember now.
I can remember he was out of Gold Beauty, who's a champion sprinter by Mr. Prospector at used Kentucky bred, but Georgia Hoffman. You remember Georgia Hoffman?
Yes.
She owned Gold Beauty, of course. And she was a champion sprinter. Beat out Ben Ferguson's old horse by our Michael. What was that horse's name? Engine One in the voting.
Yes.
Yeah. He was. I voted for Engine One because Ben bribed me.
He's properly motivated.
Yeah, Ben was a good guy. You know, Ben is up there with all those old hard boots in heaven right now. So, yeah, those of us who qualify. But anyway, it's well, what's going on with you guys over anything special?
Oh yeah, it's been really busy over at Old Friends. There's a conference going on over at the Kentucky Horse Park. They had the International Equine Conference. I got to speak with them this morning, but they got a lot of really interesting speakers all day today and tomorrow.
You going over to speak?
Yes, I already did.
Oh, you already did?
Yes.
Yeah.
They said, who's going to get it? Who can we get to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and talk to five people? And I said, oh, I'll do that. No, there were more than five, but it was really nice.
It's
a great group.
Yeah.
There was, when I left to do the program, there's a really interesting Dr. Dan Rubenstein, who's a teacher at Princeton, and he teaches equid management, and he's been studying zebras in Africa. So there's all kinds of different speakers all day long, and if you're interested, the topics are really, really interesting. The speakers are only on usually for about a half an hour, so they get to the point.
Yeah.
And it's very, very informative. And we're fortunate enough to be able to get most of the participants over to the farm yesterday on a tour at Old Friends. And that was really nice.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's very interesting to see how many people around the world are working toward the benefit of these animals. It's really nice.
Well,
and it's entertaining. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not including myself in that, but some of the other speakers promised to be.
Does this go on all day over there?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know if you ever saw that documentary called Cloud that was on PBS. It was about a stallion in the wild, and this woman followed the stallion around for years. Still does. She made three documentary films that were all on PBS, but it's really brilliant. And she's there.
Did you see that, Doc?
No.
Yeah. I bet you would have liked it. You know, I'm reading that book that you gave me, and it's about wild horses and Indian horses out in the Wild West out there.
Well, it was. You know, some of the interesting things about managing wild herds is some of the research that they've done is very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning a lot of things outside of the thoroughbred business. And Jen Reutz is going to be there from Three Chimneys, and there's good thoroughbred representation, but there's also people from all over the world talking about what they're trying to do to make sure that these species are viable. There's one woman, really interesting woman, who's taken care of the last mare on a small island in the Bahamas, who's the last direct descendant of all the horses that Christopher Columbus brought over, and there's no genetic interference from anything else.
Oh.
And they're trying to get her eggs and do some things so that they can keep that line alive. So there's all kinds of, there's a variety of experiences available, and it's over at the Horse Park, and it's the International Equine Conference. It goes on all day today and all day tomorrow. So
I'm glad you're here to talk about that, because Jackie's not here this morning, and that would save me the time of fouling it up. I hate to do those announcements, for that. She's always got her own little notes there, and hell, I can't read them. So I get on there and stutter and stammer and everything, so I'm just going to stay away from it today unless she shows up. But that's probably won't happen. Yeah. All righty. Well, let me take a little break and let's see what we got going here for us. We've talked about Paul. We've talked about De Jure over at Shadwell being put down. And, well, one thing I haven't done before we go into this, since last week, we have had 13 winners from last week's show up till now. 13 winners in 7 days. That's almost two a day.
That's great.
Yeah. The train here, the Thoroughbred Center, I should say, winners. Chuck Hamilton had one down at Churchill. Horse named Bale Bondsman. I wonder if Chuck knows him.
Well, hold the purse.
Yeah, right. Hold the purse.
That was the exacta.
Okay. Tommy Short won one. Tommy Mills won one. Another one. David Atkins. Howard Rice. Tommy Skinner. I've known Tommy. He's one of these guys I've known for 50 years. Ted Lucas, Jimmy Cargan, Brian Michael, Tommy Short won another one. Jimmy Cargan won another. Jimmy won one of those $90,000 allowance races down at Kentucky Downs.
Wow.
Yeah, with I'm Your Love, I bet she is. And Mike Estes took Curmudgeon up to Presque Isle and won a $66,000 starter allowance race up there going 2.25 miles.
Holy cow. How many times is that around this track? Well, he did train at the training center.
Well, I tell you, that's one that a lot, I tell you what, he puts the school kids on a lot of his horses. So,
from Chris McCarron's jockey's
yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And he kind of works with them over there. And when, they get a rider they think's good enough, they breeze them all and everything. So this one is probably been trained by the Chris McCarron's school over here.
That's great.
Yeah. And then last night at Mountaineer, Ted Lucas won another one. So anyway. All right. Well, Algorithms has a great pedigree. He's by Bernardini. His stud fee this year is $150,000. His dam is the graded stakes mare. Ava Knows the Code, the dam of 5 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners. In fact, his first 4 dams are all top quality race mares and stakes producers. And his yearling half-brother sold for $1,200,000 at the just concluded Keeneland September sales. Algorithms retired after a brief but brilliant career. Won his first 2 starts as a 2-year-old, first at Belmont, then at Gulfstream. Then in his 3rd start, handed Eclipse Award winner Hanson his first defeat, beating him by 5 lengths in the Grade 3 Holy Bull down at Gulfstream Park. His race record parallels that of another brilliant but lightly raced runner, retired to Cleveland Farm, the great sire Dancy. Algorithms completed his first season at stud this year, stands for $7,500, doing a full stands of nurses. More information about the stallions over at Cleveland Farm, get in touch with Bernie Sams. Number over there is 859-233-4252. Take a look at the website, claibonfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is bristnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. In-depth trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk, pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover bristnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
You know that folks over at Clay Ward Agency down in Paris, they've been insuring many of the world's finest thoroughbreds for some 8 decades now. That's a long time. Believe me, I know. That goes way back in the 1930s during the Depression. I know my dad was doing business with them. Well, he was managing Dixiana back in the 40s, and he was there in the 30s, as far as that goes. We didn't make manager till the late 30s. Anyway, he was doing business with James Clay Ward at that time. Of course, he's gone, but he'd established a tradition there, hard work, service, and a great knowledge of the thoroughbred business, and that tradition's carried on right now by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. So if you want to do business with people who know what the heck they're doing, give them a call. Now, the number down in Paris is 859, of course, 987-1861. 987, then think about the first year of the Civil War, 1861. And, of course, the Clay Ward Agency is very closely affiliated with Indian Creek over in Bourbon County, and they've got a tradition for raising runners there and selling top-quality bloodstock at the major sales. Wonderful people to do business with, two people you should be doing business with, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. That's two names you should remember if you're in the thoroughbred business. What are you doing over there, Michael? Looking for the...
I'm just looking through these amazing races with all these stars running today. It's almost like it's a huge preview of the Breeders' Cup.
I tell you what, yeah, I've got the entries over here. Of course, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, Flatter, is going, he's flat out, he's going for his 3rd. Who else do you like in there? Orb, the Derby winner's back in there. I see that. Palace Malice, the Belmont winner. Who do you like in there? Do you know?
Well, I'm keen on Palace Malice, but I'm biased. It confuses all my handicapping because Charlie Pegg, who helps us an awful lot, owns part of Palace Malice. And Paul Buhlman, who owns Cross Traffic, is a big supporter of ours, too.
Oh,
so I'm torn.
You're hoping for a dead heat.
That would be fabulous. That would be perfect.
Just a feel of eight going in there.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's $1 million purse, and they've got a field of eight, but all eight, I think all eight have a shot. I think it's a very, very, going to be a very, very tough race. But I think some of these three-year-olds, they get a little bit of a weight advantage, and it's late in the year, and a lot of these three-year-olds hit the fall, they start to beat their older competitors.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I think Palace Malice is sitting on a big race.
I'm looking forward to the Beldame with Royal Delta and Princess of Sealmar Square.
Oh, me too.
That's going to be a goodie. Mm-hmm. That goes off at Eastern Time, 3:09, it says. And, boy.
It's a great afternoon. This is my favorite day to go to Belmont Park, you know, all year round, including the Belmont Stakes. I mean, this today is just unbelievable with the Vosburgh and the Beldame and the Jockey Club Gold Top and the Turf Classic. It's just unbelievable. And the other horse in there, the Jockey Club Go Cup, Ron the Greek, Bill Mott's other horse, you know, he's really, really consistent. He's a good 10-cent
super horse. Wants the front end, doesn't he?
No, I think he comes from out of it.
Okay, I haven't looked at his PPs.
The other reason I like him is because he's out of a Fortunate Prospect mare. Fortunate Prospect's one of my favorite horses we've ever had the pleasure of serving at Old Friends.
Boy, are you biased.
I know. That's very clear. That's very clear. That is very, very clear.
Well, let's see, what time does it go off? 5:49. So, boy, when's the first one to go off? Let's see, 3:09 for the Beldame.
Yep.
Man, I got a frog in my throat today. Well, that's the earliest one. The Kelso's at 3:41. That's a grade two. It's a win and you're in, though. So,
and then you have to stay because they've got all those great races at Santa Anita later.
The Zenyatta goes off at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's got some good horses in there, too, hasn't it?
Yes. You know, Rosie Naprovnik's gone out to California to ride. I think she's got five. You know, she had five winners in one day at Kentucky Downs. She probably should come over here and train at the training center. She would have won six. The day later, she was over at the farm modeling a hat with Little Silver Charm and Sean Avery.
Yeah. Is she as pretty in person as she is?
More.
Well, she's a very attractive girl.
Yeah, she is something. She's,
the first one, the earliest one of those goes off. I see there's one at 6. The one at 6 is the Chandelier Stakes. Where'd they get that name?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But it's got...
I've never heard of it before.
It's for two... I think they've changed the name or something, some stick. It's for two-year-olds, fillies. And let's see, we got them in there. There's a Smart Striker, Colonel John, a Pulpit of Harlington, an Awesome Again, a Northern, a Fleet, a Discreet Cat, and a Tail of the Cat. I don't know who's a favorite in there.
I don't know. Baffert's got three.
Yeah, he does. In that particular race?
Yeah.
Fascinating, Awesome Baby, and a Secret Compass he's got in there. And let's see, there's the... here's another new name, Rodeo Drive Stakes.
It's Rodeo Drive.
It's the
fanciest street in Beverly Hills.
Well, hell no wonder. I've been in Beverly Hills, but I probably wasn't on that street.
The first time I was ever on Rodeo Drive, two things were interesting. I'm looking at the window because I wanted to bring Diane a scarf.
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, that's a nice looking scarf. I might get that. And I looked over and there's another guy looking in the window. Was Jerry West.
Is that right?
The basketball player at the time, the general manager of the Lakers. So we started talking about the Celtics and the Lakers. I went in and I said, I'd like to see that scarf. Oh, that's fine. They brought it out as a Hermes scarf and it was $750.
Oh, how much did you get?
I said, yeah. I said, are you sure this is not a mistake with the decimal point?
I saw Jerry West play basketball in UK out at Memorial Coliseum. They broke his nose that night, and they still beat us.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah,
he was just unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know, he's the model for the NBA logo.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, the silhouette of the basketball player.
I didn't know that.
Jerry West.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You know, you pick up all kinds of interesting and not so interesting stuff listening to this program.
Yeah, that and a dollar get you a cup of coffee.
But I think Keeneland's going to be mobbed today. I think the simulcast is going to be mobbed. I think it's going to be a lot of fun going over there.
Well, I'm going to sit in front of my TV at home. It's got the whole darn farm mode now. everything. This is the first time all summer I've been able to catch up.
Yeah.
Even got the yard mowed.
Beautiful.
That was the last yard. Exactly. Said, you ain't get out there and mow that yard.
Get it done. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, this is really going to be fun. Next, a week from tomorrow, at Holly Hill Inn, we're having a special party for old friends in the Hall of Fame together, where we're going to talk about our plans for a huge party next year at with Brereton and Libby Jones over at Airdrie and over at Woodburn as a joint party fundraiser celebration of the Thoroughbred with old friends in the National Hall of Fame.
Oh, that will be great. Well, I wouldn't miss that for anything.
It's going to be great. And so on next Sunday, we'll be showing some slides and talking about what we're going to be doing. And tickets are $25 if people want to come. Weed is going to put out the food, and we'll have a bar. And it'll be a lot of fun. There'll be some representatives of the Hall of Fame. There's some representatives of old friends. And we'll explain what we're going to do next year. So it's a good – I think it's going to help racing. It'll help us. It'll help the Hall of Fame. It's going to be really nice.
Brer just went another steak up at Presque Isle on Thursday.
He did?
Yeah, it was a $100,000 Dixon Jr. Memorial Juvenile.
How much is the purse?
$100,000.
Oh, yeah, I got to go ask him for more money now.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. And the man's throwing him a big party next year, and he's hitting for money.
He's very generous. Pretty soon he's going to go, is that him again on the phone?
He owns this one, too. You know, he bred and owns it.
Even better.
Yeah, it's by Badger Silver. Wow. And, of course, Reed Baker's training for him up there.
Yeah, great. Barry's a great guy. He's just great.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He understands the full scope of the sport in so many ways. It's really great.
And nobody enjoys it. In fact, I think the two people that I know that demonstrate how much they enjoy it are Barry Jones and Ken Ramsey.
Yeah.
Those two. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, Ken... I mean, you can't hold him down, you know?
No. But
somebody asked me, said, this morning, said, why don't you have him on the show? I says, I don't think I could. My show's long enough, you know? I mean, I couldn't shut him up. He'll get to rolling, you know? And, you know, I would just go out and smoke a cigarette or something, I guess.
After the show, he'd be leading you out by a lead rope.
There you go. he's a nice guy, though. He really is. And good for the sport.
Yes. And, oh, I'm also told I'm supposed to beg for hay. So if anybody's got any hay that they need to move out to move in the new hay, if they got any old hay, we'll take whatever's available.
And Matt hadn't hit you yet?
Well, Matt left, didn't he?
Yeah, well,
he ran off immediately.
As soon as he saw me, as a matter of fact.
Well, he donates some hay about every year.
Yes, he does. Yes, yeah. He does. Yeah. So... Okay. That'd be great.
All right, let me take a break here and get Doc on. Hey, Doc's over here cribbing, stall walking, weaving. Well, Close Hatch is in the first start since winning the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose at Belmont. That was on June 22nd. Won last Saturday's renewal of the Grade 1 $1 million Cotillion Stakes at Parks. Close Hatches is from the first crop by First Defense, and her Cotillion win pushed her earnings to over $1 million. She won the Cotillion by widening two lengths over the previously undefeated Sweet Lulu, winner of the Grade 1 Test Stakes in her previous start. Close Hatches' margin of victory in the Grade 1 Mother Goose was 7 1/4 lengths. She earlier won the Grade 2 Gazelle by over three lengths, defeating Grade 1 winner Princess of Silmar, a filly she's challenging for... Yeah, they're both in the running for an Eclipse Award. No two ways about that. Close Hatches is one of two greatest stakes winners in the first crop of First Defense, who is receiving strong support from Judmont Farm. For instance, Rising Tornado, the dam of Close Hatches, pulled a full brother to Close Hatches this year, and she's back in fold to him. He covered 121 mares over Judmont this year. For more information, get in touch with Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the $100,000 Who's to Pay Stakes was won by Big Screen, a four-year-old colt by Sprightstown. And in the very next race, Dance to Bristle, a four-year-old filly by Sprightstown, ran second in the Grade II $300,000 Gallant Bloom. Big Screen won Belmont's Jiper Stakes earlier this year, placed in the Grade III Poker, and he's earned right at $300,000. Dance to Bristle, under top weight in the Gallant Bloom, has won five stakes this year, three graded, including the Grade I Ballerina at Saratoga. She's earned over $980,000. She's won a three Grade I 2013 stakes winners by Sprightstown, the nation's leading sire, with the earners of over $8,800,000. Sprightstown has sired 16 stakes winners this year, 22 stakes horses. 14 of the 22 have won a place in graded stakes. Leading sire Sprightstown is one of five stallions, ranked among the top 25 on the 2013 sire list that stand at Windstar Farm. For more about the Windstar stallions, get in touch with Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, and see the website, windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I've got Dr. Doug Byers with me, who's been very patient sitting over here. And,
I have to. Michael went first.
Well, that makes two of us.
Hey, I have to say this before he starts, because I like to interrupt him before he starts, and I can get it out of the way, okay?
Yeah.
But Susan, his wife, put on the greatest birthday party last week for Doug. It was the greatest party, and everybody had a good time. You know, you can tell it's a good time. Everybody's smiling, telling stories, and having a great time. Steve Norman's band came. I mean, it was really, really great.
Yeah, it was good.
So next year, he's decided at his birthday where he's going to charge everybody $50 and donate it all to old friends. Did he tell you that yet?
Well, I'll come up with it. How about that, Doc? It was fun. Thank you for including us in it. And, you know, and thank you for having Red State Barbecue catering it for you. By golly, that was good. I had to go through the line four times.
He was the guy with the plastic bags.
Well, actually, the birthday kind of came around, and I didn't want to have a birthday party. But Susan said, well, you know, you're still alive after 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a survival party.
Yes, birthday survival party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's my. He said he was pulling a Lazarus now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him, well, the next thing to do is to pull a Methuselah.
No, we had a good time, and I think the thing that impressed me the most is just that everybody got along. They were glad to see each other, and you know, a lot of people. And
it was fun.
Yeah.
I got to see people I hadn't seen in a long time and meet some people that I'd never met. And I had a great time.
Good. Great.
I did tell Steve Norman, though, he's a better musician than he is a blacksmith. No, I'm just kidding. He is a good blacksmith.
Well, he puts his shoe in his mouth.
Yeah. So. I just put my foot in mine, probably.
Steve is just, he just.
He's a lot of fun.
He's a lot of fun. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't see a frown on his face.
No. So. That's when he's playing, you don't anyway.
Yeah.
You might find one when he's under a horse.
Yeah, it could be.
All right. Well, what's going on, Doc?
Well, you know, we've talked about blood work before. Mm-hmm. And we know our red top. Our purple top tube is what we pull the hematology from. And then the red top, and sometimes the green top, is where we get our chemistry. And the numbers get a little more confusing with the chemistry analysis. So you take it to the lab, and they plug it in a machine, and out comes the numbers. So Michael will have to help me here, but, you know.
He loves to let in.
Each lab is a little bit different in the way they want to read it out. And some of them add a lot of stuff in there to make them look like they're smarter. But generally speaking, it's pretty basic, pretty standard. So if you take your red top tube and you let it clot and you get the serum off it, or green top, depending on the you get your total protein. And it runs about 6.5, 7 on the serum proteins. And you get that analysis run. And if you split it between globulins, which is your antibodies, and your albumin, which is basically a protein that's very, very powerful in holding fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So if your albumin is low, that's the horse whose belly is got edema. And so a bad diarrhea or whatever, and to determine that to some degree, you put your finger on that horse and press it, and you get what's called pitting edema, leaves a dent in there. And that gives you an idea that proteins are bad. And would quantitate that. So you would want to be sure and pull that blood tube and to know what you've got. And so they do that. They take the albumin and the globulin and they get a ratio. It ought to be about 1.2, 1.3 to 1. And so if you get, let's say, an albumin of 0.4, that's not a 1-to-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So you're knowing something is really imbalanced.
Yeah.
So that's some of the areas that get confusing, and I'm looking at this chart here off of Saddlebred Filly, and the SGOT is an enzyme that you and enzymes are leaked from the cells. So when the cell dies, he leaks that enzyme.
Mm-hmm.
So the SGOT is basically liver and muscle. So you can start to figure out where's it coming from. It's not the albumin situation. It's liver or muscle and specific to them. Now you can get a CPK, which is only muscle, and you can quantitate that, and you can say, "Gee, this horse is tying up. I didn't realize that this horse is tying up." Well, he is tying up, or you realize that he's stiff as a board, and his CPK is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Now CPK goes up really quick. And the SGOT comes a little slower, and the CPK goes away, is cleared pretty readily, and the SGOT is not. So we're talking about 3 to 5 days for a CPK to come back to normal, and we're talking about 7 to 10 days for the SGOT. So you can tell somewhat when the horse had this problem because the SGOT is still high when the CPK has come back to normal. So a lot of information here. We get the GGT, gamma GT, is one associated more and more with a lack of performance. And that's an enzyme that is cleared from the liver as well as produced by the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have the bile flow to get that number to come down there. Your BUN and creatinine, you hear veterinarians say that all the time. Your BUN is high. Well, a horse that is starving or not eating right, he might create a BUN, and there's nothing wrong with the kidneys. But if it's BUN and creatinine ratios should be 10 to 1, and they're elevated, then you can get a pretty good idea that this horse has an illness, or the blood urea nitrogen is because they're not, he's not eating, he's not generating the proteins he needs to handle that. Glucose, you want to have it kind of fresh. Sugars go down 10 milligrams per hour. So if you leave it in a tube and send it to lab, and overnight they run it and get it back, and your glucose is 30, and it ought to be 110, it's because the cells ate it up during the
period of time.
And you just kind of get all things put together. You'll get information on the electrolytes, sodium, potassium, all those things. So you scan through all those numbers and pretty much see what you got that you're going to correct. So,
well, Doug, is your practice, now that you started back in again, is it picking up a little bit? Or
it's steady. It's steady.
Steady?
I think, you know, the thing that's different is that too many hungry veterinarians. And I was just on the phone with a couple of calls, but probably take 1/10 of what I used to take.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to call.
You do what he doesn't want to tell you is they always call him up and ask him for advice while they're tending to a horse.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Byers. Yeah. Oh, Dr. Byers, I've got this little problem here. Then they go on and explain the problem. Doug tells them how to fix it. He goes, hey, wait a minute.
Why don't you just say, well, I'll be right there.
Yeah, right. And that's when they won't call you. Yeah, right. That's how you're going to stop. No, I think it's become very competitive. And
missing as long as you did, you know, you missed almost a year, didn't you?
Yeah.
You have to, almost like starting over again.
Well, so, and
of course, you're, believe me, there's nobody any better thought of or than you.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, that's absolutely true.
That's the truth, you know. I mean, by the other veterinarians, especially.
That's why they keep calling them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I had a vet call me, this is when you first came on the show. And he had just turned it in, and you were going off, you know, or something like that. I saw him the next day. He said, who is that vet you had on there? And I says, that's Dr. Doug Byers. He says, oh, my God.
I know.
Well, I've been around a long time.
Yeah. How'd you know him? I said, well, Michael Blowing drug
him. He's the Elvis of the vet world.
No, that's not true either.
Wow.
All right, guys. Okay. Thank you so much, Doug.
Okay.
And thanks for including me in your birthday party.
Well,
Jack and I had a fantastic time.
You get 2 years for one.
Okay.
Don't forget, next year it's $50.
All right. All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Ursel. Best to Jackie.
I'll tell her. The first foals by Albertus Maximus arrived this year. Covered a full book of mares in his first two seasons at stud. Thank you, breeders. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, going a distance 1:33-2. He also won the Grade 1 Don Handicap. Of course, that's at Gulfstream. Set a new track record for a mile in stakes at Del Mar. Captured two allowance races at Hollywood Park and a maiden special at Santa Anita. Placed in three other stakes, all graded, one Grade 1. And he retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. Albertus Maximus is to stand the 2013 season under the same terms. Seasons may be complimentary to approved mares. There is a $5,000 bonus for the breed of his first winner, a $10,000 bonus awarded to the breed of his first stakes winner, Albertus Maximus was a runner, grade one millionaire. His sire won over $3 million and sired two millionaires. His dam, a classy winner of nearly $100,000 and a daughter 49er, is out of grade one winner and grade one producer. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. See the website, Shadwell Farm, and that's ShadwellFarm.com, and ask for Kent Barnes over there at Shadwell Farm. Well, Quillen Tack, Kentucky's outstanding tack shop. I was not only Kentucky's, probably the country's best. I bet you there's another tack shop in, not another tack shop in the country that will ship out over 17,000 halters a year. Worldwide, incidentally. They even sell them to me. Man, they're the best. They're the best people to do business with. Their tack is always first class. Their work is first class over there. They're down in Paris. Easy to find them. If you're going into Paris, just go to the third stop sign. If you're coming in on Lexington Paris Road, go to the third stop sign and look on your left, and you'll see Quillen Tack. Go in and talk to Sandy and Debbie. And if you're local, they'll give you a 10% discount on anything you buy. Great gift shop. No two ways about that. It's a wonderful gift shop in there, and it's a fun place to go in and look around. And nice people. They're just, I love to go in there, even though I have to go in there to pay my bill most of the time. That's Ralph Quillen, QuillenTack.com, Quillen Leather and Tack, and the website is, Quillen.com, QuillinIn.com. Daily Racing Form Breeding Section. The Sun comes out in the Sunday edition, which is now on your newsstands. I've got my copy and haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I glanced through it to see what's in it. I'm looking forward to it because John Sparkman's got an article in there writing about Sky Mesa, who just sired that good stakes winning Philly Sky Girl. The hot sire of the week is First Defense because of Closed Hatches win. In the $1 million race up in the Cotillion at Philadelphia Park. Patrick Reed is writing about that. Of course, First Defense, son of Unbridled Song, standing over at Judmont Farm. Very popular horse. They bred him to 121 mares this last fall. Joe Nevels is covering the Phasic Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale. Never been to that one, but I'd like to go. There's also coverage and statistics on last week's graded stakes races. The two-year-old Silas is in there, right up to date. And you can always visit the breeding edition. Go to visit drf.com/breeding for more about the Daily Racing Form breeding section. It's a great asset to the business, and check it out, and I think you're going to like it. All righty. Let's see what we can do right now. Jackie's not here. She is attending to business at home while I'm down here playing. Paul Tackett's going to be here a little bit sooner, but I can take care of... you won't get in touch with Moody, or have you called him yet?
No.
Yeah, see if you can get him. We can put him on the second hour, though, whatever he wants to come on. And, well, I'll take care of my good friends over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. Of course, that's David Schweitzer. And we'll give you the breeders of Kentucky Breds stakes winners over the weekend and during this past week, as far as that goes. Okay, well, let's start with the Cotillion Grade 1. $1 million worth in Closed Hatches, we are talking about, that daughter of First Defense. Bred by Milsec LTD, races, of course, for Judmont. I assume Milsec is a division of Judmont. Bill Mott trains her. And this is one of the two best three-year-old fillies in the country. No two, but she beat Sweet Lulu, who was previously undefeated and won a test in a previous start. She beat her in the Cotillion Stakes. The Pennsylvania Derby Grade 2 went to Will Take Charge, bred by Eaton. I assume that's got something to do with Eaton sales. He's the son of Unbridled Song, who happens to be the sire of First Defense, incidentally. Sky Girl won the Dogwood up at Churchill Downs, $100,000 Grade 3 race. He's by Sky Mesa, bred by Clear Sky Farms. The Stakes at Laurel, a couple of them, I believe. The Salama was won by, what is this? AIBHILIN. Bred by Dixiana Farm. I didn't pronounce Dixiana. If you don't know where the name Dixiana came from, Major Brack Thomas named the farm right after the Civil War, after his famous mayor named Dixie. Anyway, this filly is by Sky Mason, and she was bred by Dixiana. The Laurel Futurity, yes, I'm lucky, won that. And here comes my guest, Paul Tackett, as we speak. Laurel Futurity went to Yes, I'm Lucky, bred by Muirfield Farms. That's the son of Yes and True, two-year-old. Who's to Pay Stakes at Belmont Park? Big Screen won that. That's Spitestown. And I don't know how to pronounce this gentleman's names, but I'll take a stab at it. Put a little hard boot on it here. It's Jerry Jamgachian. Is that right, Paul? You know, Paul, he's, hell, you're so hard boot to you.
Jamokian?
I know. It's got J-A-M. Yeah, Jamokian. You're probably right. Well, he knows more than I did. He's from Scott County. the Longchamp Stakes. That's one of those French names, $125,000. It was a Woodbine. The winner was Lee Count, and Lee Court it is. And she's by Grand Slam, who, of course, stood down at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Eugene Melnick bred this one. Grand Slam is no longer with us. He's not the original Grand Slam. The original Grand Slam, I forget where he stood now, but he was back in the studs back in the 30s, trying to think who he was by. I'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. The Jack Hardy Stakes up out in Western Canada went to a Sharp Humor filly named Portales. This filly's won seven or eight stakes out there, and she was bred by Marty Takas and his lovely bride at their Belvedere Farm, Bourbon County. The Jazzy Stakes at Belmont Park. This was on Wednesday. The winner was Baffle Me. That's a filly by First Samurai, who stands, of course, at Claiborne Farm. This one bred by Peter Callahan. On Thursday, the With Anticipation Stakes, which was run at Delaware Park, was won by a Limehouse filly, Gilding. Excuse me, changed his sex there. Bred by Dr. Gordon Layton at his Lock Lee Farm, another Bourbon County horse. We're ahead of Scott County as we go here. The Fitz Dixon Jr. Memorial Juvenile Stakes, $100,000 at Presque Isle, went to Jose Seaview. I guess Brury, I won't have to name him why I named it that, because Brury Jones bred it and owns it, and it's by his stud horse, Badge of Silver, who's doing pretty well down there. And there was $100,000 stakes run Thursday at Presque Isle. So there we have, those are the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners over the last weekend and then coming up. Going to take a little break here and do some commercials. We're going to get Paul Tackett on here with us in just a second. But two of the three top-priced fillies that they just concluded sales at Keeneland were by the ever-popular Hall of Famer, Tis Now. One of them sold for I can't even say it is so much money. One of them sold for $1,750,000, and the other came up short, just brought $1,700,000. Two of Tiz and Al's best sons stand over here at Spendthrift Farm. Tizway is one of 11 Grade 1 winners by his great sire. He won the Grade 1 Whitney by three lengths over the likes of Flat Out, John Oak. Been the second fast met mile in the history of that prestigious race, won 31-4. Posted the best buyer at a mile of any older horse in 2011 with a 113, and the best beyond a mile by any male horse that same year, 111. Retired to Spendthrift Farm, he received a full book his first two seasons at stud, and his first foals are outstanding. Tis Wonderful was undefeated at two, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois. He was arguably Tis Now's best juvenile colt. He's the sire of four stakes horses in his first crop, including the top filly, My Happy Face. Winner of over $500,000 a date. Winner at two of the Grade 3 Tempted, and she was ahead Bobbin second in the Grade 1 Frisette. Winner this year of the Lotka Stakes at Belmont Park. She ran second in the classic Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks, also second in the grade two forward gal, and she was third in the grade one test. Now, for more about the Spencer stags, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. See the website at SpencerFarm.com. Talk about my friends over at Reborn. It's a whole bovine colostrum. It's test-free. I tell you who runs on it is Wise Dan. That's good enough recommendation for me. Charlie Lepresto uses it. Of course, Wise Dan, a horse of the year. It's being a colostrum, it's really great to start. It's a dietary supplement, of course, for horses of all ages, but I would start with foals because we're always running short of colostrum during the breeding season anyway. Builds up the foal's immune system. In fact, it breeds, builds up a high concentration of growth factors and antibodies on any animal that you give it to. It's supports the immune functions of horses of all ages, put it that way. To find out more about it, go to reborn.com. It's reborne.com. And they make it be sold right in Kentucky you can get it out at Old Friends, or you can go to KBC here in Lexington or Horse Sense down in for sales. Now, Dr. Steve Alday invented that stuff, and he also invented Lubricium, and it is also test-free. It's used by Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendoffer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. They make it for humans, too. And I mentioned my wife, Jackie, uses it, and she swears by it, keeps her going. And I'm not going to fuss about that. Just keep her cooking. What it does, it sustains the integrity of joints fluid. Another great product that you can get at Old Friends or KBC in Lexington or the Horse Sense in Versailles. So it's Lubricin and Reborn. And Dr. Steve Alday, great guy, great supporter of Old Friends, incidentally. Well, Broken Vow, as usual, is having another top year at stud. He's a sire of 13 stakes horses, 7 stakes winners, and the earners are right at $5 million to rank among the nation's leading sires. This was reflected at the just-concluded sales of Keenan when Broken Vow yearlings went for $435,000, $150,000, $115,000, $100,000. 14 of them sold for $60,000 or more. Broken Vow has sired 57 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses. Most recent stakes winner came earlier this month in the $150,000 Glens Falls Stakes at Saratoga. Winner that day was Lady Cohiba, and she goes today in a Grade 1 Stakes, incidentally, up at Belmont. And she has won stakes in New York at 2, 3, and 4 already. She's earned right at $300,000. Broken Vow, the leading son of Unbridled Stud in North America, stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also at Pin Oak Stud are the stallions Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. Now, Cowboy Cal's first foals are 2-year-olds, and 10 of his 14 starters, 10 of the 14 have won a place. Cowboy Cal, a multiple graded stakesman of over $1 million, is by Giants Causeway. Also at Pin Oak Stud, the venerable Sky Classic. So 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens to see the website at pinoakstud.com. A couple of minutes before you get on here, Paul.
All right.
All right. We can talk about, I'd say something about Red State Barbecue while I'm at it. You ever been out there, Paul?
Tell me it's good.
It's really good. Come on over and sit down and get the mic in front of you. It's on Georgetown Road.
Right.
And you haven't been over there. Well, you got to go if you like barbecue.
That's right.
And it's prize-winning barbecue.
I'll say.
It really is. The Taste of the Bluegrass gave them a prize for their slider over there, their brisket slider. And it was the best entree. And it's really good. Went to a birthday party for Doug Byers.
How's Doug doing?
Doug was here. You just missed him. Yeah, he said to tell you hi, and he said you're a nice fella. And I said, well, you haven't known him long.
Well, now, Doug Byers is a top gentleman, too.
Yeah. Get a little closer to that. Yeah, Doug is a great guy.
Yes, he
is. You know, he's had a hard time with his health, but he's really looking good. And he celebrated his birthday just the other day. And he had Red State Barbecue cater it.
Okay.
So, as I told him, I had to go through line 4 times. But he is a great guy.
Yes.
But that really, you need to stop in out there. I don't guess you come in the old road anymore, though.
I don't come that road much. I go up 421 a lot from where I live.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you'd have to come in that way. You know where the old Sunset Motel was?
Sure,
sits right in front of that.
Right. I see the sign.
Yeah, that motel's been there forever.
Oh, forever, yeah.
Yeah, I know. When I was in high school, it was there because I remember there was a real pretty girl named George or something or other that lived there. But, you know, I remember her real well.
All the guys went up there because Scott County was dry, and that was right across the line. They could go up there and get them a drink and have some fun.
Is that right? Well, you can go in there and get a beer now.
Yeah, I realize. Yeah,
yeah, well, with Red State. Well, anyway, David Carroll operates it, and he donates a lot of his money to charity that he makes out of. A certain percent of his profits go to charity. He's given to old friends, and he was given to, I forget what it was. Oh, the Children's Hospital was given to it. But he's a neat guy for doing that, I would think. And you really need to stop in there. It's fun to go in there. You know, it's red check tablecloth. They don't have napkins. They've got a big roll of paper towels on the table. You can get in. You can really dig in and get
some grease on.
Yeah, and they do a lot of catering, like they did Doug's party. And if you want to go to the, you know, have them cater for you, it's an 859 number. It's a Lexington number. Call 233-7898. 233-7898. And if you go in there to eat, ask for that peach pudding with bourbon ice cream for dessert. Man, it's to kill for. That's a Red State Barbecue on Georgetown Pike. You just it's not over a mile off the bypass out there towards Georgetown. Well, 19 sales yearlings from the first crop by looking at Lucky sold for $100,000 more at the just concluded Keeneland September sales. Six went for more than $200,000 with a high of $490,000 for a colt consigned by Woodford Thoroughbreds agent. Purchased by Bernard Chapapa. Looking at Lucky is obviously siring individuals that make a good impression at the sales, and there's little to fault with his race record, of course, or his pedigree. Champion 2-year-old, champion 3-year-old, won 8 graded stakes, won 5 grade 1 graded stakes, won the Preakness, earned over $3,307,000. His sire is the remarkably successful Smart Strike by Mr. Prospector. His dam produced 2 graded stakes winners. His second dam produced 2 graded stakes winners. His grand dam was grand dam of 2 champions. Third dam was a grade 1 stakes winner. Buyers at Keeneland believe in Looking at Lucky is destined to become a success at stud, and so do we. Stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Number out there, 859 number, 873-7088. And for more information, see the website, coolmore.com. Well, let's see, where are we right now?
The greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack when trusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
Well, yearlings from the first crop of Majestic Perfection sold for $285,000, $230,000, $220,000, $155,000, $132,000 at the Keeneland September sales. Majestic Perfection 2013 stud fee was $8,500 doing a full stands and nurses. Just another example of why we say that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Majestic Perfection is the fastest son of Harlan's Holiday, a top 10 sire with earnings of over $6,530,000 this year. Got 13 stakes winners and 29 stakes horses in 2013. It's also, according to champion sprinter Steve Asmussen, the fastest horse he'd ever seen. Not the fastest he'd ever trained, the fastest he'd ever seen. Unbeaten on a fast track, Majestic Perfection won the grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt easily over Big Drama. who went on to win the Breeders' Cup Sprint. His bio that day was 1:15. He also sprinted 6 furlongs in track record time, 1:07.1, 1:17 bio. Gorgeous individual, thus the name Majestic Perfection, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, well, I've got Paul Tackett with me from over in Scott County. Paul, I was just thinking on the way in here this morning, how long we known each other now?
You know, Ursel, I think maybe we met around 1958 to 1960, something in that area.
Yeah. I was at that time working for the Blood Horse.
No, I met you the first time, Ursel, I think when you and Art Bommel were in partners.
Okay. That would have been in the 60s.
Okay.
In the 60s. We were partners in an advertising agency for 8 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went somewhere, Ursel, and I remember one of y'all had a convertible, I think, and we all three were together, and I don't know whether we went to eat or what, but I remember somebody had a convertible.
I had a white Pontiac Le Mans convertible. Boy, you got a good memory. I wish I still had that car.
I had a convertible. I wish I had mine, too.
Don Sturgill talked me into buying that thing. Of course, his dad, Charlie Sturgill, owned the Pontiac dealership here. Guy, they don't make them anymore.
Right.
That was a beautiful car. I loved it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I couldn't use it. Now I'm supposed to see out of the sun, the bald headed, you know, so. yeah. But you're native of Scott County.
Right. I was born and raised over there, Ursel, and my father was a farmer. We had cattle and tobacco, but I loved the horses, so I got started at a pretty young age, mm-hmm. tried to buy a thoroughbred or two, didn't know what I was doing, you know, still don't, haven't progressed very much.
Well, come on now, just bred a nice stakes winner, we'll get around to that. Was your dad interested in horses or anything at all?
You know, I got him interested. He was more or less a trader, cattle, and he would trade in horses, but they were work-type horses. And he would go to the races at Keeneland. He had an interest in doing a little gambling, but he never thought about owning thoroughbreds, uh-huh. I don't think, until I suggested it to us.
Yeah. What got you interested?
I loved horses all my life and used to show some horses, some Tennessee Walkers and everything. And I kind of, when I would show, you know, it came down to one man's opinion, the judge, as to who was the best.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I get some thoroughbreds and if he gets to the wire first, we won't have to argue about who's the best.
Yeah.
And so I kind of thought that might suit me better.
Yeah, I was always suspect of that.
Yeah.
You know, when my dad was over at Dixiana when he started out over there, they had show horses too, you know. And they had something that they were going to show down at the state fair down in Louisville, you know, and the judge down there was a big sheep, used to deal in sheep. And of course, they didn't have any sheep on Dixiana. And about 2 days before the big show down there, the championship show down there, here came this load of sheep on. I said, uh-oh.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. So guess who won the championship?
That's what you call home cooking, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think they kept the – yeah, right. They didn't keep those sheep around too long either. They raised Herefords at that time and cattle, but no sheep. I never did like sheep anyway. Always too smelly.
No.
What was your first horse? You remember that?
You know, I don't remember the name of the first horse. I think it was in 1956, and I bought 2 mares and a suckling from someone. And I think I gave 900 or 1,000 for the package. And then the next year I sold that suckling to somebody for 1,000. And I thought, this has got to be better than cattle. So, that hooked me, you know. That wasn't any money, but it was a little money at that time, Ursel.
Well, yeah. 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 Go ahead. And then you had the mare free and clear.
Yeah. I had the 2 mares.
Two mares. Yeah. Free and clear. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, who did you start at? Did you start with broodmares? Is that it?
I did, Ursel, and by not working for anybody else, I had to kind of teach myself, and it was a slow process. When I'd go to sale, I'd watch everybody else and see what they did,
uh-huh.
because I really didn't know I was so green.
Yeah.
But picked up a few pointers here and there, kind of learned as I went along.
Yeah. and built up to, build your farm to take care of them.
I had some horses on my dad's farm for a while, and I farmed tobacco for him for a long time. And then I bought a farm up the road, and we lived in town at that time. And after I bought the farm up the road, I kept horses on it. And me and my dad still had some horses down on his place.
Uh-huh. Some of your horses?
Yeah, we'd be partners down on his place. And then up at my place, I'd have horses on my own that he was not.
Oh, so you got him into going partners with you.
Yeah, and he wasn't for it to start out with, but I bought a little filly that was out of a Phipps family, and I knew that it was a nice family, and I bought her up in Boston for $2,000, and I got her
Suffolk Downs?
Around that area. They were running three tracks then, and I bought her in that area. I don't know whether she's Suffolk, Narragansett, and I gave two and brought her home, and a lady from Lexington in about 3 weeks offered me $6,500, and that's when he kind of said, well, but let's go partners.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Ursula and found a relative of hers and bought her for $1,500, and in a few weeks, somebody offered me $10,000 for her. So that kind of sealed our partnership, and he didn't get on.
That would have sealed me. Yeah.
But that was beginner's luck, I think. But it was an old Phipps family that they were out of.
Yeah. Researching families back then was tough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ursula, I was thinking coming over here about you, and I had a spy song mare, and I know he stood at Dixiana, and I bought her in New England for two, and she was out of Durazna, and Durazna, I think, might have been out of Myrtlewood. And
Lord,
she's about that mare that I had, the Myrtle Song, the Spy Song mare. She's the fourth or fifth dam of Departing.
Is that right?
The horse that Claiborne's won all the derbies with this year.
Yeah. Myrtle Song.
Yeah.
Did she ever have anything herself for you?
I bred her to Sunrise County, and she had a really nice filly, and I sold her at the sale, and Mr. Blass from around Hot Springs, Arkansas, bought her, and he's still living, and he took that filly, and Doug Davis trained for him at that time, and I think they bred her to Hempen and got a stake winner, and then they kept that stake winning filly, and then, I don't know, they got in partners with Claiborne, and some of the mares end up over there, and they've done really
well. You brought up two names there that I have, Sunrise County and Hempen. I haven't thought about them.
That's a long time back.
Sunrise County, was he at the stallion station?
He could have been. I think
Doug Davis had Hempen, didn't he?
He did, and Doug kind of inbred, because Hempen had some Spy Song in him, and he bred a daughter of my Spy Song mare, so that was pretty close. But anyway, the family went on to do real well.
Well, that's going back. Sunrise County was a good racehorse, but don't think he ever sired a whole lot.
I don't think so. He was a pretty horse, and my filly was a pretty filly.
Yeah, now Hampton used to get a lot of nice two-year-olds.
He did. Doug was good with two-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't breed to Hampton.
You didn't breed to him?
No.
I never did either. Because, $1,500 was all I ever could afford anyway.
Me too.
And I never sold them any of them at auction. We just would sell them and put them in training and sell them.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Those kind of horses are not around anymore, though. You know, they're all the 5,000. They're 5,000 now, you know, for anything that we would have bred to back at that time.
Yeah. You know, hard work was 1,000, and I don't know what Golden Ruler was.
He was 1,000.
Yeah.
But Golden Ruler never sighed much.
Right.
But hard work, I mean, he was money in the bank. Because trainers liked him.
Sure. You see hard work fillies in the third and fourth generation of some good pedigrees.
He got a lot of runners.
Mm-hmm.
Good, useful horses. I bred to Pago Pago. As a matter of fact, I think you ended up with one something that I bred.
All my Marys, I think.
That's it.
Right.
I bred her. Yeah.
I realize.
She won the Politely Stakes.
That's true. And beat up nice filly. I can't remember her name, but that filly went on and was a dam of a really good filly.
Yeah. She was by Nijinsky.
Yeah.
The second, and she beat her.
Right.
And it wasn't shortly after that, because Pago Pago was an Australian bred. He was a champion 2 year old over there. And Bull Hancock had imported him. And he was one of those, a lot of them were little bay horses, kind of back at the knee. But consequently, they weren't too popular. But this filly was a nice looking filly. And she was a good size.
Yeah, you sold her to Alan Jerkins, I think.
I sold her to Alan. He gave me $18,000 for her, which, you know, $1,000 stud fee. I thought that was fine. But she was a two-year-old. She hadn't run or anything, but I had her in training.
Right.
And, of course, Alan won the politely with her. Yeah. I'd have won at River Downs if I'd kept her.
I think maybe she had won the stake before I bought half of her from Alan, and I kind of think I gave $25,000 for half of her.
Is that right?
Right. And yeah. We won a race or two, and then he and I bred her and had three or four foals and sold them, but nothing noteworthy.
I think she was out of a mare named Tactical Mission.
That's probably true, yes.
Yeah, that's a mare that I got off a track at that was a runner.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of pedigree, but a runner. And, boy, she was sore when she came in. Oh, my Lord, you know. I mean, but you know how they are sometimes when you get them that way.
Right, right.
Alan, which I'm going to talk to you about Alan here in just a second. Let me take a break here to catch up. We know a whole lot of the same people, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
All right. Well, Algorithms has a great pedigree. He's by Bernardini, whose 2013 stud fee was $150,000. The dam is a graded stakes mare. Ava knows the code. She's the dam of five stakes when there's four graded. In fact, his first four dams were all top-quality race mares and stakes producers. And his yearling half-brother went for $1,200,000 out of Keeneland just the other day. Algorithms retired after a brief but brilliant career. Won his first two starts as a trio at Belmont Gulfstream. Won his third start, handing Eclipse Award winner Hansen his first defeat. That was beaten by five lengths in the Grade 3 Holy Bull at Gulfstream. His race record parallels that of another brilliant but lightly raced runner retired to Claven Farm. Of course, that would be the Great Dancy. Algorithms completed his first season of stud this year, standing for a fee of $7,500, doing a full stands of nurses. For more information about the stallions over at Claven Farm, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 233-4252 and see the website at clavenfarm.com. Hill and Reagan Parker have their real estate agency based here in Lexington. Let me give you their website, right? It's an easy one. LexHorseFarms.com is the website. LexHorseFarms.com. And nice people, good horse people. They know that they've been, Hill's been in the horse business all his life. It's all he's ever fooled with other than real estate. But they've been in the real estate business now for some 12 years. You got a great website. Want to go to it and see what they've got listed. They've got property in all the major counties around here, including down in Bourbon and in Scott County, if you want to buy something over there, Paul. And but the Bourbon County place, he's got three or four of them, but one right up the road for us. In fact, I think he's got one on either side of us on Clay Kaiser over there. And Woodford, Clark, outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices, and they can put you in just the perfect farm for you. If you want a list, you couldn't do business with nicer people than Hill and Reagan Parker. Let me give you their phone number. It's a Lexington number, 609-8039. And real horse people, and they know the horse business, and just honest people, and that's the kind of people you want to do business with. And once again, that website is LexHorseFarms.com. Well, Spite Stallion's the number one ranked sire in North America in 2013. He's got 16 stakes winners, 22 stakes horses. He's earned going on $9 million already this year. Country Day, son of Spite Stallion, completed a very successful first season stud this year at Crestwood Farm, standing for a fee of $5,000 when a foal stands and nurses. Country Day won over $500,000 himself, won stakes at Oaklawn, the Fairgrounds, Presque Isle. Placed in five more stakes, including a game second in the Grade 2, it's now Grade 1, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. And he was equally adept on dirt, grass, or artificial. His dam, Hidden Assets, won graded stakes and is one of 75 stakes winners by the top sire, Mount Livermore. Family's loaded with black type and successful sires, Grand Slam, Aladar, are from that family. Your inspection's invited, and while visiting, inquire about the many services available at Crestwood. It's a family operation. Got a great reputation for quality customer service. So just give them a call at the farm. It's Lexington number 252-3770. And be sure to check the website at CrestwoodFarm.com. I'm talking to Paul Tackett, an old friend of mine down in Scott County, and we were talking about Alan Jerkins. Now, if I'm not mistaken, your son's Philip. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
And he won a race the other day at Belmont Park with something that Alan was training.
That's exactly right. We raised that colt, and he had chips in his knees, and we couldn't sell him. And we didn't break him till he was three and trained him. This year he's four, and he did win. He's compromised because of the knees that he's got, but Alan does a good job, and my son was so thrilled to have a horse in New York and win a race with Alan training him. He said that was a momentous occasion.
Well, the fruit didn't fall hard from far from the tree there, because you got to know Alan very well.
Right. I've been a fan of his for a long, long time.
How could you not be? You know.
You couldn't. And you know, Ursel, it amazes me. One day this year we were on the phone and about where to run this horse. And I said, well, Alan, you know, run him as cheap as you need to. And he said, well, because of my age, I don't make hardly as good of decisions as I used to. And I'm not hardly as sharp as I used to. Said, you make the decision. I said, hell, Alan, I'm almost as old as you are. I don't know that I'm capable of making it. But, you know, a guy like him, as famous is, to self-inspect himself and realize that he's a little older and might not be as good as he once was. That says something about him, I think.
Well, yeah. Nice guy.
Right.
I met him when he brought Sensitive Prince down here. And I was working for the racing form at that time. He brought him down to run him in the Derby. And he came in to see me. I had a little mare that he had trained and everything. Once again, she was a good race mare, probably because of Alan.
Right.
And I bought her out of her sale and foaled her something called Cameran the Second. You ever hear him?
No, I haven't.
Well, nobody else has either. he was a French horse that had won group stakes over there and was standing up in Canada. But I sold that foal out of her, you know, even by Cameran for enough money to pay for the mare, pay for the package. So once again, I pulled a Paul Tackett on her.
You did it before I ever started. So.
Well, I don't know. But you've bred a lot of nice horses down through the years. And you've been a regular consigner to mostly Keeneland. I don't think you sell over at Fazy Tipton any?
Occasionally. But mostly at Keeneland. Yeah, I've been selling there since 1961. That's quite a while.
Yep, it is. Yeah.
Also, you were talking about my son, Philip, and winning the race in New York. All my children are interested, and my wife is interested in the horse business, and some of them own 5% of one mare and maybe 10% of one mare, and so it's kind of a family thing, and they help me a great deal do some things that I can't do because of my age, and you know, really, this mare, my Conquistador, my wife went to the barn to foal her this winter because I had knee replacement and I just couldn't get there. And the vet that helps us down the road had to be out of town for a couple of days. And she went down there to foal that mare and the mare jumped up and knocked her over against the wall.
Oh my.
And fractured the vertebrae in her back.
Oh jeez.
She had some surgery and she's doing better, but she tells the filly that she foaled, which is a Desert Party filly out of Golden Artemis. My wife tells her, you've got to win the Kentucky Oaks.
Okay.
That's the way you've got to pay me back for getting injured. And really, the Desert Party filly is quite a nice filly. And who knows, maybe she will win the Kentucky Oaks for her.
Well, she won the Grade 2 Summer Stakes up at Woodbine just the other day. Who's training her for?
Now, that's Mark Cassie's filly, and that's the two-year-old. This filly that my wife foaled is a weanling.
Oh, okay.
Half sister
out of that mare.
Marks, yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I've got that pedigree over
here. Yeah, well, I kind of got ahead of you there, probably.
Well, no, he just dropped back. my Conquistadora won the Grade 2's TVG Summer Stakes on September the 14th. And, boy, well, she went a mile 134-4. That's not beat a proud citizen in a Malibu moon.
Now, Ursula, she's a maiden, and that was her first start.
Is that right?
And she beat.
Well, she just won by 3 1/4 lengths.
But she beat the colts, and the boy never uncocked his stick.
Yeah, and Mark Cassie's got her.
Right.
Yeah, yes, he does. Yeah. Who is Conquest Stables?
There are new people that Mark has brought in this year, and they bought several two-year-olds in training at Ocala. And they bought this filly that I bred in Ocala. Uh-huh. I sold her Keeneland's yearling, and then some pinhooker took her to Ocala, and she worked 10 flat and brought 240 in Ocala.
Yeah. Wow. You've, she's an Artie Schiller.
Right.
You ever breed anything else to him?
I have. Mm-hmm. Because Jimmy Jerkins trained him, you know, I admire the horses that Jimmy and Alan train.
Yeah.
And I bred the Warfront a few years because Alan trained him.
Well, that's...
What you see is what you get in their horses. Some of these other stallions trained by other people, I never know whether I'm getting the genes or what I'm getting when I breed to them.
Yeah.
And but I like Artie, and I've bred to him several times.
Yeah, well, he's done very well.
He has.
Of course, he's a Windstar now.
Right.
Ben Waldenstar Jr. started out with him.
And I bred to him at Ben's first year he came home.
Did you?
Right.
Yeah. He's an El Prado.
He is an El Prado.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's not bad.
No.
Yeah. Ask Ken Ramsey, he'll tell you.
Well, he's a good racehorse, and I think he raced through his 5-year-old year, maybe. I know he raced through his 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And we need a little soundness, I think, in the breed.
But if you talk to Mark, what's he going to do with this?
I have talked to Mark at Keeneland September sale, and his plans are to bring her to the Alcibiades next Friday.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
She breezed yesterday at Woodbine, went 5/8 and 101 and change. You know, the rider that rode her, he made a comment that he never at any time thought she could get beat. And he said she's a great filly. Now, great is a pretty big word. I hope that she's maybe as good as he thinks.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is the mare's first foal, too, Ursel.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then you've got what's the one on the ground now?
All right. The Weanling's by Desert Party.
Okay.
But I also have a yearling filly that's by Horse Greeley.
Uh huh.
And I'm going to sell her in a fall sale later this year.
Both fillies?
Both fillies.
Yeah.
And then after my Conquistador brought the 240 in Florida, I bred the mare back to Artie Schiller.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her carrying a full brother or sister to
this. She's back in foal, been examined in foal. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, the Horse Greeley thing, the Canadian connection ought to do you real good because he's had a couple of nice stakes winners, graded stakes winners up there.
Right, that 2-year-old of his won 3 stakes at Woodbine this summer.
Yeah, shouldn't have been beat, the only one he lost.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice colt.
He is.
Yeah, Horse Greeley, of course, down at Claiborne.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Sounds like you're sitting on top of the world.
Well, this mare's 7 years old. She's a little different than anything I've had for quite a while. But, you know, she's out of a hobo family, and that's one reason I was interested.
There you go.
And the third dam is Kelly Kipp, who won over $1 million and was a great sprinter, and Alan drained him.
I swear. Huh, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Karen McLaughlin had my broodmare as a 2-year-old, and she was very precocious. Won her first start in June, going 5/8 a mile in the slot.
Yeah.
Had a lot of speed.
Yeah. Where'd she win?
She won at Belmont, broke her maiden there.
Yeah.
Her total earnings are about $94,000.
That's good hard knocking.
Yeah, and she placed in another stake as a 3-year-old, but I think she hurt herself at 2, and when she came back at 3, she wasn't hardly as good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the size of your broodmare band now?
I bred 11 mares. I believe I got 11 mares pregnant this year, so that's about as many as I need. Got 3 or 4 I need to run off that are not doing a very good job.
Yeah, yeah. Who are you breeding to this year?
Oh, Ursel, let me think. I bred to Trap Shot and bred back to Artie Schiller. Bred to First Defense. I hadn't bred to him before. And
you got that good filly.
Close hatches.
Yeah, she's good filly.
Right. Can't think of the rest of them, but that's basically some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I bred to Parading a time or two at Claiborne. I didn't breed to Warfront. He got too expensive for me.
Yeah, you should have stuck.
Well, I couldn't stand the $80,000. If I'd have known this mare was going to come up with this filly, she might have could have stood it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, he's been fantastic, hasn't he?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, Alan trained him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. he had, in a period of something like, I think it was about 20 days, he had something like 6 graded stakes winners.
Right.
Well, a couple of them were group stakes winners, you know, including the one group won. Looks like he's a chip off the old block.
Yeah, he is. I asked Seth one day, did you ever have a stud start off this hot, this quick? And he said, yeah, Danzig is dead.
Yeah, there you go.
I said, well, I guess I asked a silly question, maybe. Yeah.
You know, First Samurai is coming on farm, too.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He's doing real well. He was a little slow getting started. Of course, he did have a great stakes winner in his first crop. Mm-hmm. But now he's doing really well.
Right.
Yeah, and Josh Causeway horse. Got to take a break again. These things catch up with me. Well, Close Hatch is in it. Talking about Close Hatches. Close Hatch is in the first start since winning the Classic Grade 1 Mother Goose. That's at Belmont. That was on June 22. Won last Saturday's renewal of the Grade 1 $1 million Cotillion at Parks. Close Hatches is from the first crop of First Defense. And her Cotillion win pushed her earnings to over $1 million. She won the Cotillion by widening 2 lengths over the previously unbeaten Sweet Lulu. Sweet Lulu had won the Grade 1 test stakes in her previous start. Close Hatch's margin of victory in the Grade 1 Mother Goose was 7 1/4 lengths. And earlier, she won the Grade 2 Gazelle by over 3 lengths, beating Grade 1 stakes winner Princess of Silmar. And she and Princess of Silmar, I would think, are the 2 best 3-year-old fillies in North America. Close Hatches is 1 or 2 graded stakes winners from the first crop by First Defense, who is receiving strong support at Judmont Farm. For instance, Rising Tornado, the dam of Close Hatches, pulled a full brother to Close Hatches this year, and she's back in foal to First Defense. He was bred to 121 mares over Judmont this year. For more information, get in touch with Garrett O'Rourke and Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, last Saturday at Churchill Downs, $100,000 Dogwood was won by Sky Girl. And Sky Girl was raised on products from Macaulay Brothers over Clear Sky Farm. That same day, the $400,000 Charlestown Oaks went to So Many Ways, foaled in Pennsylvania. But she was raised on Macaulay products in Kentucky by John Penn and John C. Penn. And in Canada, Potales, one of the Jack Hardy Stakes, was raised on Macaulay products by Marty and Cindy Tackix at their Belvedere Farm. Congratulations to all. Give the folks at Macaulay Brothers a call. Talk to Mike Warren, David Longmire. Ask about free services provided with every bag of feed you purchase. If you listen to this show, you know that week after week, major stakes are won by runners raised on Macaulay products. Why don't you add your name to the list? The number over there is in Versailles is 873-3333. You're always welcome to visit the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles, and also check the website at MacaulayBros.com. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. September 22, Church Downs, the ninth race, a $46,000 maiden special for 2-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. It was won by Academic Probation, a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Einstein. The official chart tells the story. Academic Probation was unheard into stride, responded when roused with 3 furlongs to go, circled into the stretch 6 wide, reeled in the leaders, was up in the final yards. That after breaking from post position 10 in a 10-horse field. Einstein is also the sire in his first crop of E=MC², who broke her maiden by nearly 8 lengths, going 4.5 furlongs, then ran second, beating less than a length in the $100,000 Land of Lucy Stakes at Hollywood Park. It's also the South Theory of Relativity, win of his first start by nearly 6 lengths at Delaware, plus 2 more that have placed in maiden specials. So Einstein has sired impressive winners at distances from 4.5 furlongs to a mile on the grass. That 4.5 furlongs on the dirt, incidentally. And like their sire, they didn't run on anything and at any distance. As a reminder, Einstein won 5 grade 1 stakes, 1 graded stakes on dirt, grass, synthetic, recorded 12 triple-digit buyers, earned nearly $3 million, and retired sound. Stands at Adena Springs. Give them a call, 859-987-1798. See the website, adenastallions.com. All righty. How did you sell out there this fall?
I sold a couple. I had a Arch Colt. that I sold, and then I sold a Colt by Old Fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have many yearlings this year, and got a couple of yearlings that probably were not good enough to take to Keeneland, so
yeah.
I'll probably send them to my friend at Woodbine. I've got a friend at Woodbine I've been sending a couple of yearlings to every year, and something that maybe I can't sell at Keeneland. And
yeah.
He's done real well. He wins first time out with some of them, a guy named Nick Gonzalez. In fact, he trained the Queen's Plate winner.
Is that right?
Nice guy.
Yeah, I don't know the gentleman.
He's been trained up there for a while. In fact, he's won the Queen's Plate twice in the last 5 years. And one trainer told me, if Nick's in, you just scratch out because he's undefeated. He's won the Queen's Plate every time he's run it.
A lot of averages to catch up with him, you know.
I know.
Yeah. Well, Paul, it's have you raced anything here lately? Or?
My son and I have the one horse with Alan. Right, and I've got a horse at Mountaineer Park, and he's learned how to count. He finishes third every time we run him. So,
well, he's picking up a check anyway.
He is. He beats the local horses, but he can't beat the horses ship in.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Who's arriving here? All right. Well, Paul, I'm going to let you go on back to Scott County.
Well, I appreciate it, Ursula. Good to see you again. Take care of yourself.
Well, you know, my age, I can't do anything but.
You're just a young pup.
All right. This has been my friend, my good friend, Paul Tackett. Paul, thank you for coming by. I appreciate it. And we'll, who is this? You all from over, well, yeah, you, Red State. Yep. Sit down. Tell me what you got here. Sit down, Paul. You might want to get a barbecue. I want to make a sale for you right here. Give him, fix him something over there.
We brought some double smoked brisket, and we also brought some of our pulled chicken.
Okay.
So, and you got a assorted sides over there. So you got our baked beans and our beer cheese grits and
oh my god,
the mac and cheese and all kinds of good stuff like that.
Oh, well, we were talking about the party over at Doug's the other day.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was great, you know. It's a great. And Paul's from Scott County, from down there. Man, he never goes in that road, but he's going to now because we're going to give him a sample of something over here. Paul, I want you to pick something out over there.
That'd be good. I'll wait.
I may have to open up one of the boxes. That might change his mind.
Well, I want you to help him out over there.
I can already smell it.
Yeah, well, I can too.
I'll let Miss Ashland get over there and help out.
Yeah.
Some.
All right. Is this your daughter?
Yes, this is Ashland.
What's your name?
Ashland. Ashland.
No, your name.
David.
David. Okay, David. Okay. I see your face in your audience. Of course, you were at the what you call it over there just the other day.
Yeah.
At the well. The party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get it out in a minute.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah, I heard that went pretty well. So
it went great.
Good.
Good. It really went great. But we appreciate this bringing this by.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've got a check for Mike and old friends because I don't know if you remember, but last month we did an event out there at the restaurant on the final Sunday of the month in August,
mm-hmm.
and we did 20% of every check.
You've grown a beard since I saw you last.
that's the reason. That's what
you threw me off. Well, this is the owner of the joint.
Yeah. That's all right.
All right, David.
Yeah, so that's so I don't know if Mike's listening, but I've got a check for him, so we just and maybe I can leave. Will you see Mike anytime soon?
I'll see him next Saturday.
Well, how about I leave it with you? Would that be all right?
Yeah, sure. I'll hold it. I'll hold his money. That makes you show up next week.
There you go.
Well, that's great, David. Yeah. Well, that was you did a good job with that catering.
Thank you
over there. You know, and that and you got a big fan in Doug.
Yeah. We see him in the restaurant quite often, and. We certainly appreciate his patronage, and it's certainly a pleasure meeting his wife. So, nice people, real
yeah.
nice people.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real good. You do a lot of catering, don't you?
We have increased our catering immensely. I've actually got a person who is our catering coordinator now,
mm-hmm.
and we have, in fact, doubled our catering. Next Friday, next Saturday and Sunday, we have 4 events in 2 days, and actually, we have 3 weddings in 1 day.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's picking up.
Well, now tell me about these charities. You part of the money that David that you make on this you give to charity.
Yeah, once a month we pick a charity to work with, and of course in the month of August it was Old Friends Equine, and in September is McKenna Foundation. Of course they. Everything they do goes to the UK Children's Hospital.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Good friends with Sheila David, and she's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And then in October, we're going to do breast cancer awareness. And so Red State goes pink for breast cancer awareness.
Okay.
The month of October.
Yeah, so we're very rare, are you?
No. We'll everything will be barbecued as you'd expect it to be.
Okay. So.
Yeah, but we try to, you know, we've done some stuff with the Autism Society, the Bluegrass, you know, just different charities throughout the year. And so we, you know, we try to give back, and we call it, you know, Red State Gives Back. And
yeah.
So that's what we try to do.
I don't know any other business around here that does that. You know, most of them are out hustling.
Yeah. Well, we're still doing that, believe me.
That's good. Well, we've got a great product. And I appreciate you advertising on this show, as a matter of fact. And Paul, get over there and help yourself. Look at that spread.
I'll let you get fed.
You wait. I got another half an hour to go yet.
Well, I tell you,
you got a sandwich over there. Fish him one of those sandwiches.
Let me give you a little bit of background.
While you're doing that, I'll catch up on my commercials.
All right.
All right. Did you ever get? Touch with Steve?
Not yet.
Well, okay. Well, the first Foals by Albertus Maximus arrived this year. Covered a full book. First two seasons is stud, so thank you very much, breeders. Albertus Maximus won the grade one $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, going the distance 133-2. He won the grade one Don Handicap at Gulfstream, set a new track record for a mile in stakes at Del Mar, captured two allowance races at Hollywood Park, a maiden special at Santa Anita. And he placed in three other stakes, all graded one, grade one. Retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. Albertus Maximus is to stand the 2014 season under the same terms. Seasons may be complimentary to approved mares. There's a $5,000 bonus for the breeder of his first winner and a $10,000 bonus to the breeder of his first stakes winner. Albertus Maximus was a runner, grade one millionaire. Sire won over $3 million, and he sired two millionaires. His dam, a classic winner of nearly $100,000 and a daughter of 49er, is out of a grade one winner and grade one producer. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes at Shadwell Farm. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Oh, I'm always talking about people on Georgetown Pike, first Red State Barbecue, and now I'm going to talk about equine surgery and sports medicine right down the road from you, David.
Yep.
Yeah.
You see some other people?
This is David Carroll, incidentally, by the way, wearing a hat that I'd never seen him wear before, and a beard, which I'd never seen him before, but I should have recognized his cute daughter.
Don't show up for a couple months, and you know.
Yeah.
Things change.
Well, you get to be my age, you forget anything anyway, so I'm lucky to remember my own name, as a matter of fact. But I remember who's running the Lexington Equine and Surgery and Sports Medicine over, and that's Dr. Bill Bernard, Dr. Wesley Sutter. Bill, of course, specializes in internal medicine, and Dr. Sutter is a surgeon, and he specializes in surgery and sports medicine. Nice people, experts. This is an outpatient facility. You give them a call, tell them what your problem is. They'll tell you when to get there. They'll tell you what it's going to cost right up front. No surprises. And when you get your bill, there's no add-on, so it's really, really a great place to go to. They treat you right over there, and they're very expert in what they do. State-of-the-art facility. The scintigraphy machine is absolutely first class. They got the only standing MRI in the area. And they'd be glad to show you around the facility. Give them a call over there. It's 967-0770. Let me tell you where they are on Georgetown Pike. They're right on the corner of Georgetown Pike and Ironworks Pike. Can't go wrong there. So that's Dr. Wesley Sutter and Dr. Bill Bernard. Nice guys. Best of what they do. And it's a great facility, as we say it is. Well, two of the top three high-priced fillies at Keeneland in September. We're about tis now. One of them brought $1,750,000, one $1,700,000. The big horse sire, the runners, is also the big horse sire of sales yearlings. In 2013, they averaged $317,432. Wish I'd had a couple of them. Tis Now has earned his big horse reputation by siring 11 Grade 1 stakes winners. Most recent is the 2-year-old colt Strong Mandate, winner of September 2 of the historic Grade 1 $300,000 hopeful at Saratoga. Strong Mandate demolished his opposition, winning by 9 3/4 lengths, geared down in the final 16th, according to the official chart of the race. He's the likely favorite for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Tis Now entered stud at Windstar Farm, topped the juvenile sire list with his first crop to race. He's been joined at Windstar by two of his Grade 1 winning sons, Colonel John and Gemologist. The first foals by Colonel John are two-year-olds, and he's the leading sire of two-year-olds at stud, a freshman sire in Kentucky, with four stakes horses, including Concave, a graded stakes winner, and she's Grade 1 placed. The first foals by Gemologist, winner of the Grade 1 Wood and the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. He earned right at $800,000. They're due next year. For more about the Windstar Stallions, get in touch with Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. Number, it's a for sales number, 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. You like that over there, Paul?
It's good.
I can't eat till I get off the air. Well, thank you so much for bringing that by.
Absolutely. We try to get out and see as often as we can. Last month we didn't get an opportunity to, but we
certainly. Well, if you're going to bring, listen, you're always welcome if you're going to bring us something to eat.
Well, tell Jackie I'm sorry I missed her. Yeah, well, and if anybody out there wants to come by and see us today, of course, you know, everybody's getting ready for the game also because it got tailgating and everything. So we're taking orders.
I bet you do a lot of that too.
We do. And there'll be some days that it may not seem like we're so busy through the restaurant, but then we'll turn around at 7 or 8 o'clock and, you know, we're getting low on brisket or ribs or what have you, and it's just because people are taking large to-go.
Tell me about it. I've been there a couple of times to get ribs. You've sold out already.
Well, and it's, you know, and it's interesting that you bring that up because it's a process, you know, and
yeah.
I mean, if you've ever tried to barbecue anything, you know, it's like, you know, you're going to babysit it for a while.
Yeah.
And so we will put stuff, you know, we'll put our pork and our brisket into the smoker at about 7 or 8, you know, in the evening. And we'll shut it up and go home and come back the next morning and start pulling it off. Well, then you put your ribs and your chicken on and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all about timing.
Yeah.
And that smoker holds about 300, 350 pounds. And that, but it's never enough. And so I, you know, it's like I kind of have an ongoing joke with the staff. It's like if I only had another smoker and a crystal ball, I think I'd be all right.
Well, yeah, there you are. Well, Jackie and I have been over there several times right after the show. And of course, we don't get over there until about 1.
Mm-hmm.
Too late.
Yeah.
You know, and the time that you brought them over was the first time Ressie ate them all. They were good, weren't they, Rusty?
Yes, sir. I live for barbecue.
Yeah. And those ribs are good because we use the St. Louis style pork barbecue ribs, and they the thick and meaty and you know, of course, the way we do everything is low and slow, and the spices, of course, and all that stuff is still Scott's. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't changed any of his spice rubs or anything like that. So that was all speed.
And David, you got some very pleasant people working for you over there too.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We've got a good group over there, and they're dedicated, and they you know, they're good team members, and so we're very proud of them.
Yeah, they did a good job the other day at the you know, over at Dr. Byers.
And that was Ariel, the young lady that was over there, and she's
was it?
Yeah, she's been with us. Just about the inception, so we're coming.
Since you owned it, or since Doc?
Since Doc was there,
yeah,
when he was there, and so, so it's because we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary in October, also,
yeah.
And she's been there just about since the get go.
That's funny, you know. I had heard about it before, you know, I ever went over there or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Michael Bowen was telling me. Oh, it's a good barbecue place over on Doorstep Pike, you know. And I never get over that way, but I do now. But you made a customer out of me anyway. Well,
we appreciate it because we love you guys. So that's very
well. Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's always good to hear when you've been in, and also Dr. Byers, because we hear, you know, we always know when he's in.
He's over there at least once a week.
Yeah. It's always good.
He's the best.
All right, sir.
Well, thank you so much.
Yep.
I really pray. I can't wait to get off the air here.
Yeah, well, definitely got to get some of that double smoke.
I'm going to.
All right. And
leave those around. We'll pass them around.
He's telling me I need to mention redstatebbq.com.
Oh, okay.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter, so.
All right. Well,
thank you, Arce.
That's over my head when you get on Facebook and Twitter. You know, I can. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Where are we? I don't know if I've got time to do a little bit of history or not. Did you ever get in touch with Steve?
Not yet.
Tell him to wake up. Steve stays up all night handicapping, and then he sleeps in through the show. All right, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Jockey Club Gold Cup. It's not, of course, they're running that today at Belmont, one of 10 grade one stakes that they're running, 5 in New York at Belmont and 5 at Santa Anita. And they're also running a grade two in New York. That's 6 graded stakes, and all of them are winning your in races. But, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, you'd think it'd be one of those real old stakes, but it's not. It came out the year Man of War was a 2-year-old in 1919. Of course, he didn't run in it. The first winner was Purchase, who was by Ormondale. I know that rings a bell to everybody. But the next year, Man of War did win it in a virtual walkover. And Vosburgh wrote about it. And that particular race, and he's quoted as saying, he had the size and power of a sprinter with the confirmation of a stayer. And in his book, Racing in America, he wrote a little poem about Man of War. And I'll just read it just for the hell of it. Weave for the mighty chestnut a tributary crown of autumn gloves, the brightest then when autumn leaves are brown. Hang up his bridle on the wall, his saddle on the tree, till time shall bring some racing king worthy to wear as he. That's been a long time ago, and so far that one that equaled him has yet to arrive. Mad Hatter won it in 1922. He was not by Man of War, he was by Fair Play. He was a sire of Man of War, of course. But in 1923, Crusader won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he was by Man of War. He's from his second crop, out of a Starshoot mare bred by Sam Riddle. And horse was a tremendous racehorse, champion 3-year-old racehorse that day. That year, he was a champion racehorse. But he went to stud at Sam Riddle's faraway farm. And, of course, Man of War was still there. And he just really never got any opportunity. Of course, Riddle got so that the only people who could breed the Man of War was Walter Jeffords, who was married to his cousin, and him. But very, very few people, outside people, ever bred the Man of War. And Crusader just didn't get many marriages. Consequently, he didn't get anything of any note, you know. But Man of War, of course, was a tremendous horse. And 1925, with 25 foals of racing age, 12 of them 2-year-olds, he climbed to number 4 on the sire list. In 1926, he was never won. And John Hervey wrote that never before had so young a stallion with such a small number of offspring make such a showing. So that was about the greatest racehorse of all time. And, of course, he sired a subsequent winner. War Admiral won in 1938. Of course, he won a Triple Crown also. And there's been some great horses win it down through the years. Of course, Kelso won it, 5 times Kelso won it, I believe, the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And Flat Out is going for 3. Gallant Fox won it back in 1936, 20 grand. And Gallant Fox, 1930, 31 was 20 grand. Market-wise, beat Whirl Away in 1941. Prince Quillo won in 1943, and I think that was when Bull Hancock saw that race and said, told his father, so we got to get that horse for stud, which they ended up to do. Of course, he went to Virginia, Elsley, stud in Virginia at first, and until he started running, and then he came to Kentucky. let's see who else won it. Phalanx won it in 1947, and he was champion 3-0. Saite, the great Citation in 48, beating Phalanx, incidentally, who had won it the year before. Both of them won it as 3-year-olds. And then Tonda won it in 1949. It was a Derby winner, another Calumet horse. He was sired by Pensive, a son of, I believe, Hyperion. Yeah, I believe that's right. One Count in 52, Gallant Man in 57, Sword Dancer. He beat Round Table. Round Table was 5-year-old, Sword Dancer was 3. That was 1959. Damascus in 67, all winners of the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Exceller in 1978, he beat Seattle Slough. Affirm beat Spectacular Bid. That was Spectacular Bid's 3-year-old year. Affirm was a year older, of course. Great John Henry in 1981. Easy Gore, Cigar, Skip Away. I mean, this list goes on and on. And kind of pulling for Flat Out today. There was a nice article in the Blood Horse about Art Preston, who owns it, of course, who owns Prestwood Farm. I mean, Prestwood Stables. All right, well, two of the three top-priced fillies at the just-completed sales out at Keeneland were by the ever-popular Hall of Famer Tisnow. One went for $1,750,000, one for $1,700,000. Two of Tisnow's best sons are at stud at Spendthrift. Tisway is one of 11 Grade 1 winners by his sire. He won the Grade 1 Whitney by 3 lengths. He beaten Flat Out, beat John Oak that day, ran the second fastest med mile in the history of that prestigious race, won 31-4, posted the best buyer at a mile of any older horse in 2011, that was a 113, and the best beyond the mile of any male horse that year, 111. Retired to Spendthrift, he received a full book his first two seasons of stud, and his first foals were outstanding. Tis Wonderful was undefeated at 2, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois. He was arguably Tisnow's best juvenile colt. He is the sire of 4 stakes horses in his first crop, among them the My Happy Face. She's won over $500,000 now. She won the Grade 3 Tempted Stakes and was second in the Grade 1 Frisette at 2 last year. Third in the Lotka Stakes at Belmont, second in the Classic Grade 1 CCA Oaks, and a Grade 2 Forward Gale, and third in a Grade 1 test this year. For more about the Spencer Stallions, call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website SpendthriftFarm.com. Stakes down at Churchill Downs today, and Steve, who's going to win it?
Well, we got a couple of them down there, Ursel. The homecoming classic, what they're calling it, is kind of a prep for the Breeders' Cup and then the Jefferson Cup. And let's see.
I thought that was a Jefferson Cup today.
It is, but both of them are today.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's give the Jefferson Cup. We're late getting a hold of you, and we didn't get the one in anyway.
All right. Jefferson Cup is the eighth race, a mile on the turf for three-year-olds. And this, of course, will be a lead-up to the Breeders' Cup, one of the races for the Breeders' Cup. Probably the mile. Anyway, the field of nine is going in here. I like the five horse near Ursel, a General Election for Kellen Gorder. Arlington Classic, three starts back, came from off the pace, and I think with the way this race sets up, there's a ton of speed in here, pretty much from all sides. You've got Redwood Kitten on the inside and Bellino and Tate's Landing, One More Cat. I mean, there's speed everywhere. So, and you got the outside horse, Raise Away, is a sprinter going long first time. So with all the speed in here, I think it sets up for something to come at the end. And I think that suits General Election just fine. He got a kind of a tightener last time off a layoff in the Del Mar Derby, in a little easier spot today. And I think he can come get him in here. Went for the Ramsey horse, Redwood Kitten second, and Bellino, one of the other speedsters, third. So we'll go 5-1-3 in the Jefferson Cup.
All right. Real quick, who do you like in the other one?
The other one, the Homecoming Classic. You're going to have Golden Ticket's going to be scratched in there, so you're just going to have a field of six. I went for Prayer for Relief. Ursel had a winless campaign last year, but has come back this year with two wins and 2 seconds from four starts. And I think he's going to be kind of sitting in a garden spot in here behind Fort Larned and some of the other speed. You know, Fort Larned is, on paper, he looks the best, but he's been so erratic. It's just hard for me to back him at 3-5. I mean, he might win, might have handled this bunch easily, but just too erratic for me at 3-5. So gonna try for an upset in there. Prayer for Relief on top, Fort Larned second, and then the Klein's horse. It's lightly raced and improving, windswept at 6-1, took him third. 4-5-2 in the Homecoming Classic.
Now you got to give me one more winner. Who's going to win the football game tonight?
Well, I'd like to say Kentucky, but I just don't think they can score enough. You know, Florida's not a very good offensive team, but they're a tremendous defensive team, and I think they'll put enough on the board to probably win the game. But I'm hoping Kentucky can show a little something. I think their defense is making progress, but
yeah.
You know, we'll just have to see.
All right. Okay. Well, what's the spread? Do you know?
Last I saw was like 12 and a half, something like that.
12 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they hit the right on the nose with Louisville, didn't they? I don't see how they do that. Of course, the money determines what the spread is, but anyway. All right, Steve, thank you so much. It's been Steve Moody. I'm sorry it's so late getting to you. Were you asleep?
Yep,
that's what I thought. Well, thank you for not sleeping through the show.
Anytime.
All right. It's been Steve Moody with who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And you can pick up that sheet at brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, or out at Keeneland, or just about wherever they sell a daily racing form. So thanks a lot, Steve, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you at Keeneland.
All right. Yeah, how about that? All right, well, since last week's show, we have had 13 winners from the Thoroughbred Center, and they were saddled by Chuck Hamilton, Tommy Short, Tommy Mills, David Atkins, Howard Rice, Tommy Skinner, Ted Lucas. Ted's been on kind of a roll. Jimmy Cargan, Brian Michael, Tommy Short, Jimmy Cargan again. Jimmy went and won a $90,000 allowance race down at the Kentucky Downs. And Mike Estes. Mike won a $66,000 starter allowance going 2.25 miles with Curmudgeon, named after him. And Ted Lucas won one last night at the Mountain. So congratulations to all from me and from everybody here at the Thoroughbred Center. I want to thank, especially I want to thank David Carroll for coming by and bringing all his food by. I'm going to chow down right now. I've already tasted some of it. I'm talking with my mouth about half full. I want to thank Paul Tackett for coming in. And I want to thank you for listening. Rezzy, thank you so much for keeping me straight here, and Mary Jane at the studio, and we'll talk to you next week.
Here we meet.